Good morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So we were listening to a song in pre-service prayer, and it's How He Loves Us. And it just reminds me of how much God loves us and how much He proved His love by sending His Son. He proved His love by sacrificing His life. He demonstrated, as it says in Romans, His love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son. You so loved the world, Lord, that you sent your one and only Son, your beloved. You sent him so that we could receive your love in the fullness as you desired. Lord, love that has no end, love that is so not understandable by us, God. But help us gain a little more in comprehension today of how much you love us. Lord, we receive, Lord, everything that you have for us because of your love today. And I pray, Lord, that as we worship you now, that in spirit and in truth, Lord, we would prove and we would demonstrate our love back to you for the love you've given us through our hearts of worship. Thank you, Jesus, for this time together. Thank you, Lord, that you are working, Lord, in this service right now, in every heart, in every life. The ones that are still on their way, the ones that are here, God, you're working in our hearts and our lives. And let your love, Lord, be a reality today in us, in Jesus' name. Would you stand?
Thank you. Spend forever in the land. Getting this picture in my mind, and it's of a IV pole, and it has a bag, and there is someone kind of laid back in a chair, and it's connected to them, and it's almost like I get this vision where I can just like go straight to that line that's connected from the bag to the person, and in there are little particles in the line and in the bag, and it's particles of love and particles of comfort and peace and joy. And some of us today need that infusion care. Some of us today need to be rehooked back up. We have try it on our own, and we just can't get what we can get when we get it from God. And so I don't know who that's for this morning, but it's going to take you just stepping out of your comfort zone just a little. I don't know what that looks like for you. For me, it looks way different than for you, but hook yourself back up to that connection, to that infusion that only God can give us. Do you need more of him today? Are you just desperate for more of him today? Come to him with everything that you are and place it at his feet and just lay back and let him begin to infuse you with what you need this morning.
So good. Reckless love of God. Seated on the throne.
To that Lamb of God, and who else?
Lamb of God, anointed one, who was.
Take the place, Lord, in our lives that you deserve. Thank you, Jesus. Who else is worthy, Lord? None. There's none more worthy than captivating our hearts. There's none more worthy, Lord, of capturing our lives, Lord. You're worthy. You're worthy of all our dedication, Lord. You're worthy, Lord, of all our attention, our affections, Lord. You're worthy of all our sacrifices we give, Lord. You're worthy of all our obedience, Lord. You're worthy of it, Lord Jesus. And yes, Lord, you're worthy of our love returned to you. You're worthy of our worship, Jesus. There's no one, only you, Jesus. Yes. We could have all this world, Lord, but we want you, Jesus. Help us not pursue anything else. Let you, Lord, be our one thing. Yet you let you, Lord, be the one thing, Lord, that captivates our hearts, that captures us, Lord, that radically, Lord, changes us. Let you be that one thing, Lord. Yes, Jesus. One more time. Give me Jesus.
So give me Jesus.
Go tell someone that this morning, that you love on them. Give me Jesus. Amen. Amen. So many choices out there, but give me Jesus.
All right. Good morning. So if you guys could stand with me, we're going to do the Heart of the House Declaration, and we changed the end of the slide here to be on brand to where we feel God is calling us. So this is the last bit of the slide, and we declare that we are becoming a house of prayer for all nations. Okay, this is where we believe God is taking One Life Family Worship. And so is that exciting to anybody else?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, so let's do this together on the count of three. One, two, three. We declare that God is building our church, that God is calling us to the basic gospel, and that He is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord. We declare that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where His heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind. And we declare that we are becoming a house of prayer for all nations. Jesus, we just thank you so much for who you are, God, for what you're doing, Lord, in this house. God, I thank you, Lord, that although we may be small, we are mighty, God. And although we may be small, your spirit is big, God. I thank you, Jesus, for what you did in January, Lord, through our 21 days of prayer and fast, Lord, what you did in the house prayer moments, God, and what you're going to continue to do, God. I thank you, Jesus, that we don't have to be satisfied with yesterday's manna, God, but that you're doing a new thing, God. You're doing a new thing in our house. You're doing a new thing in our pastors. You're doing a new thing in the body. And we just thank you, Jesus, that we get to come into alignment with what you want to do, God, in this house, God. I thank you, Lord, that this will be a house, Lord, where people come into, Lord, and they get a taste of your presence, God. They get a taste of who you are, God, that healings will take place here, God, that minds will be restored, God, that relationships will be restored, God, that spirits, Lord, will be restored to you, Jesus. So we thank you so much, God, for your love, your mercy, Lord, for all that you're doing in this place every day. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. Praise God. So we have this slide here, and I believe this is still a poster out there, right? Yeah, so just so you guys know what this is, we made this poster about a year ago or so or something like that. And this is just for if you have friends, family that come and visit and they want more information, or if you guys want more information, you could scan this QR code. It is in the poster right out there on the board. And if you bring a guest, you can point them to that. If they're like, hey, I want more information, or I want to meet with the pastor, or I want to know what's going on, they could just go on there, fill out a little Google Doc, and we'll get that, and we'll reach out to them. So that's basically what that is. The next thing is we are in lieu of being a house of prayer, we are continuing to pray in houses. And I don't know if all of you guys know the history of these house night prayers, but back in 2010, Pastor Mike really felt that God was calling us to pray in houses. And it was an exciting time. But this is what I mean by yesterday's manna. Because although we had some really, really cool times where every Saturday we were meeting 10, 20, 30 people in a house, different houses all over the valley, I believe that what God did then was just the beginning, and that what we're going to see in 2026 is something far greater. And so right now we're starting these house prayers, and I think we're doing them once a month is kind of where we're shooting for at the moment. And so the first one is this upcoming Saturday, which I believe is the 21st, and it'll be at Herman and Merriam's, and Pastor will send out the address and all that stuff. And so, but I would just really encourage you guys that if you have the time and just want to partner with what we believe God's doing in this house, that we would make this a priority. It's the sad statistic is that prayer meetings are the least attended thing in any church everywhere. Yeah, let's change that. And that's not just our church. That's big church, small church, it's just the way it goes. And to me, that is a blind spot in the body of Christ. Why would we not make prayer important? Yes, you could pray at home, absolutely. Also, there's something so powerful when the body of Christ comes together and we pray with one another and we gather around one another and we lay hands on one another. And so it's just really exciting. Amen. So, like I said, Pastor will send out that information this upcoming week. And then as well, thank you for giving. You go online, give there at onelifefamilyworship.com. As you know, we have the box up here, box in the back, and we just appreciate everybody giving to the house of God. Amen. And then children, where are Leona? Where's your brother? Oh, Tegan. All right. Well, Father, we thank you so much for our young children here. We thank you, Lord, that you love them so, so much, God, that you actually call us to be like them, Lord. And so we just pray, God, that for what you're doing, what you're going to continue to do, Lord, in these children and our children's ministry as a whole. We thank you, God, and we proclaim, God, that we will build a functioning, healthy, thriving children's ministry, God. We thank you, Lord, for the children you're sending here, God. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the children that are here, Lord, week in and week out, Lord, even though they kind of have to be here. We thank you, Jesus, Lord, that you love them, that you're with them, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, so reminder again. Isaiah 56:7, house of prayer for all nations. This is a scripture, Isaiah 56:7. Even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Again, this is a building. We are the true house of the Lord. We are to be the house of prayer. We are to be the ones that are standing in the gap for nations, for our families, for our loved ones, for our friends, for our coworkers, for our fellow students. We are the ones that are to be that house of prayer. And just as Jesus had to eradicate the things from the temple, from the house of prayer that was designed in the times of King Solomon, and then later when it was rebuilt, the temple, that place needed to be cleansed because it had a lot of junk in it. It had buying and selling going on. It had things of the world, let's put it that way. And because of the things of the world that were in it, Jesus became a little zealous, became a little angry. And some people would say it seemed violent what he was doing, knocking over tables, beating things with a whip. I'm sure unintentionally he probably ended up hitting people. And the thing is that I believe that same zeal for his house should be for him, for us, and is for us. And so if there are any time during your time of prayer or your time of reading your word or any time that you're approaching the Lord and you feel something in your heart that's maybe blocking things, I know during the 21 days of fast, there were things that were revealed to me, things that I had set aside that I really haven't gone back to much. I maybe have like just quickly listened to some of the news, but I've been trying to keep the news at bay because it was one of those things that was kind of captivating my heart. It was one of those things that was causing my house of prayer to be a little polluted. Not that I didn't love the Lord, and I would say that a lot of those individuals did love God, but unfortunately they were caught up in the business of church. We'll call it business of church, the business of religion, the business of profit. And so we need to make sure that our hearts are pure so that we can be that house of prayer. And as Pastor Eric said, these host homes are a key. One of the things that the Lord showed me years ago, and I believe it applies to this time as well, is that where these house of prayers, when we gather in these house of prayers, it's like a fire that's burning. And the vision that I got was like the whole valley was like on fire, because we were in different homes, different locations. And every time we were praying, it's like it was like a fire that was stirring. And I believe that it doesn't just affect our church. It doesn't just affect the home that we're in. It affects the neighborhoods that we're praying in, that we're bringing the kingdom of God to those places. So if you want to allow the kingdom of God maybe to spread in a greater way, open yourself up to be a host home. I highly encourage it. I'm thankful for the individuals who are opening up their homes. And I think Tim will probably do it at your guys' place next month. I think we're going to do the end of the month at our place. So there'll be two this month. So we'll be at Herman and Miriam's on the 21st, and then we're opening up our home at the end of the month, which, man, it's a blessing. Herman was saying yesterday, like, yes, we want to be a host home again. It's like you're hosting his presence. It's like you're hosting his, because where two or more are gathered, he's there in your midst. Not that he's not at your home when more than the you guys are there, but it's like something happens, like a catalyst. It's like, I don't know if you know what a catalyst is in chemicals, but it's something that activates something. It activates something that may be inert, you know, and maybe our homes are kind of inert sometimes. We're so busy doing life. We're so busy running around. We're so busy, you know, being hectic for the things of this life, entangled, as we'll look here in a scripture later on, that you need something to activate as a catalyst. And gathering together is a catalyst. So highly encourage you to see and pray. Don't just like, oh yeah, we want to pray, because the Lord may really put something on your heart that he wants you to step out and maybe do it more than once. And you know, this is who we want to become, is a house of prayer. You heard it in our declaration. We declare we are becoming a house of prayer for all nations. We are becoming, each and every one of us. So we're covering this idea of prayer in a acronym form. I'm going to kind of go over a little bit today. Purposeful requests. In other words, our requests to God aren't just willy-nilly. We're not just saying words so that we can say that we're being heard. We're saying words that are coming from our heart. We're saying words of burdens that are on our hearts, people that may be on our hearts, situations may be on our hearts. Speaking of that, let's pray right now for Phyllis, because she is having serious issues with this after surgery. I think Gay sent out, she's had some infection in the wound area, but now she's dealing with the flu, and her blood oxygen levels are low. So Father, right now, Lord, we come to you, Lord, as houses of prayer. And Lord, we stand in the gap for our loved one, Phyllis. Lord, you love her more than any of us, Lord. You have created her. You have designed her, Lord. And God, we believe, Lord, that you are the one that's touching her and healing her right now. Lord, we pray that you would just allow, Lord, your healing balm to come upon her and heal every cell in her body, heal every tissue in her body that needs to be touched by you. If there's infection, Lord, eradicate it and remove it from her body, and let strength be returned. Lord, we thank you that she was recovering and she was being strengthened. Lord, we pray, God, that that would continue now, Lord. Father, we pray that even right now, Lord, she would sense, Lord, the flu symptoms going away, and that strength would return to her in Jesus' name. We thank you for that, Lord. Yeah, purposeful request. She was on my heart. And I said, Lord, I'm asking you. She's your daughter. Pour out, Lord, what you need to in her situation right now. But purposeful requests, aligning your. We talked about that last week. Peter was up on the roof and he was praying at noon, and it says that he was hungry, and he is asking for whatever God was putting on his heart at that time. But God intervened and showed Peter something that he needed to know. And that's what is called clean now is no longer unclean. And because of that, the church was created. The Gentile church was created. He went to Cornelius's house and revival broke out. And you and I, who are part of that church that's not of the Jews, we were birthed out of that moment, because he aligned with what God wanted. Peter had preconceived ideas of what Gentiles were, and he said, I shouldn't even be in your home, when he went to Cornelius's home. But he said, but what God has made clean, I can't say is unclean anymore. His eternal reality reality was changed as he aligned. So that's what we're going to talk about today, the power of prayer that helps you with your eternal reality. Now, this is a kind of a subjective, we could all kind of put our own spin on it. So I wanted to kind of frame it a little bit before we get into what is eternal reality. So the word eternal means something with no start or end that lasts forever without stopping. It often points to things outside of time, like endless life, a never-ending event, or truths that stay the same always. That's kind of what I want to focus on, the truths that always stay the same. They never change. The reality means the real thing that actually exists, the truth or facts, not just how it looks or seems on the surface. How many know that in our political climate and in our world now, that there is so much surface that people communicate as truths, and it's not what's really going on? There's things that are happening deep down, and without revelation from God, none of us will really know what's going on. Instead of fake shows or illusions, like letting go of pretend stuff for honest truth. So let's combine this and say, okay, so what is eternal reality? It means the real truth that never changes and lasts forever. It has no start or end, and it's not limited by time. It's different from fake looks or tricks, focusing on what's truly important inside instead of just surface stuff, like letting go of short-term lies for honest, endless truth. Now, this is wrapped, the eternal reality, I'm gonna let the cat out of the bag, is really Jesus himself. If you look, it's endless. There's no start or end. Jesus has no start or end. And as we'll see, he literally declared himself to be the truth. Actually, Jesus said, in a way, he said, I am the way, I am the reality, and I am the life. So Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But really, truth is reality. Truth is what is real. You know, some people think truth is not telling a lie, right? That's what all of us think. But truth really is reality. What is real? Now, for us as Christians, we may have a preconceived idea what's real in the kingdom of God. Or we may even have what's real with God himself. And what Jesus does, he reveals the true truth of God. He reveals the reality of God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen the reality of who God is. Everybody in his day had a preconceived idea of who God was. And that's why they had a problem with him doing things on the Sabbath, because God would never heal on the Sabbath. I mean, we saw him that, you know, when someone was picking up sticks, this happened during Moses' time, that man was stoned. And so they said, there's no way that you should do anything on the Sabbath. Well, Jesus said, listen, if an ox of yours fell in a ditch, you'd get him out of the ditch and you wouldn't say that it was work. So how much more healing somebody on the Sabbath is good? So Jesus revealed the truth about God. Jesus in John chapter 14 talks to his disciples and he's just getting ready to leave them. I'm sure they weren't excited about this, but he says, I'm going away, and where I'm going, you can't come right now. But he says, but you know the way, so you guys can come. So he says, you can't come right now, but you know the reality. I've shown you the last 3 years what the reality is, and it's me. They don't quite understand this at this time, but that's what he's saying. And you know the way where I'm going. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way? And then Jesus told him, I am the way. I'm the way. We know that Jesus also said he was the door. Not, he's not a physical door, but he is literally the door that we go through to enter into God's kingdom. We go through him to enter into the Holy of Holies and be with our Father. And it says here that Jesus told them, I'm the way, I'm the truth, or the reality. That's what that word, if you look in the Greek, that word truth means reality and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So, if we're praying with these purposeful requests that are aligning us with eternal reality, what our prayers are really doing is aligning us with Jesus. That's what they're doing. They're aligning us with the Spirit of Christ. They're aligning us with the Holy Spirit. They're giving us the things that we need to really be who God wants us to be. Not just a Christian in existence here. Not just somebody that's saved and just buying their time to go be with the Lord someday. There's nothing wrong with buying your time to be with the Lord someday, but that should not be your full existence as a Christian. Your existence should not be waiting for glory. Even though we are waiting for glory, that shouldn't be your only existence. We are called to be the light of the world. So in our prayer time, when we're praying and we're saying, Lord, you know, show me your way, show me how you want me to live. He may say, I want you to be the light of the world. And he may give you instructions of how you do that personally. He may say, I want you to love this person across the street. Oh, that person, God? Now, you know, we don't get along, Lord. So I don't know why you'd be telling me to love that person. Or go over and invite them over for lunch. They would never come over. Well, if God's leading you and he's aligning you with his will, you may invite them over and they may end up receiving Christ. They may just receive the love of God, but it may be a door that opens up in their heart. You don't know what God's going to tell you. I'm not telling you all to go to your most evil neighbor and invite them over. But I'm saying when we are in purposeful requests and we're asking God, sometimes we're asking him for something else. Peter was not asking about who do I go see today that's a Gentile that I can go preach to them. That was not on his agenda. Jesus, we know, in the garden was saying, Lord, is there a plan B? Do I have to go through with this crucifixion? Can we do something else? Is there another way? Right? But the Father, during that time, lets him know, yes, son, this is the way. You've known this since eternity. You've known this forever. This is the way. And as hard as it's going to be, you have the grace to go through it. And that's the same thing. If God's asking us to do something, there is a grace for us to live it out. I was communicating with Jesse this week, and we were talking about how the world is changing very fast. In our technology world, which we have been following since, oh my goodness, since probably the 1990s is when technology was really being advertised. Now, we would see things and changes in hardware and stuff like that. But once the internet kind of really kicked off and magazines started kicking off about technology, we would see changes like every 1 or 2 years. And I mean, they would be significant changes, like processors would get faster. We could put more memory in things. There'd be new types of languages written for, and I know blah 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 blah, languages written for writing software, and you know, it was like you'd read, and about every 3 months there'd be like minor tweaks, but about every year you get these major releases. Well, him and I were talking, and I'm not kidding, it's every week there's a major release, and every day there's major tweaks. Every day to technology. And Jesse was like, I could tell even from his text he was getting a little overwhelmed. Because it's like, what do we do? And I told him this, and I'm telling you this today. You were chosen for this time. You have a grace to live in this moment. You don't have to worry about, well, how am I going to get, if you rely on God, he will give you the grace to live in this moment. He'll give you the grace to go through whatever difficulties come. He'll give you, if we were to be persecuted by, as Christians all over this nation, and because for whatever reason somebody gets in and they don't like Christians anymore and we become persecuted, there's a grace for us to live in that. Just as there's a grace for us to live in this crazy time of technology. That's going to affect all of our lives. So the truth, the reality is Jesus himself. So Jesus says this, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the eternal life. Now I put the eternal in there, but he really is. It's eternal life that he's giving us. You know, Peter says that we've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. And I believe it's eternal life. See, when we are living now, we're not just living in the natural life. We're living in any part of eternity right at this moment. There's a part of us that is seated in heavenly places. There's a part of us that has all of God living in us. So we're already connected with eternity, and our existence is anchored to eternity. It's like we're not just waiting someday to just go to heaven to receive heaven. We've received it now. Jesus says, it is finished. When the Holy Spirit came, heaven came down and now dwells in us in these houses of prayer. Heaven is in these houses of prayer. That's why it's so necessary for us to realize who we are so that we care for this house of prayer that we are, this vessel that we are, and bring honor to God in how we live. Jesus said this, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. Now, this was Jesus talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, and he's kind of rebuking them. You go through the scriptures and you think that's where you're going to get eternal life. But the scriptures point to me. In other words, the scriptures are pointing to me. I am eternal life. They didn't like it. John 6:47 says this, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes has eternal life. Do you believe? Then what does that mean? You have eternal life. It's not says you'll get it someday. You have it now. You have it now. And then John 17:3 says, and this is the way to have eternal life. So you want to know how to have eternal life? This is Jesus having his conversation with the Father in that priestly prayer to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. So us knowing this eternal life, this eternal reality is already there. But you know what prayer does? Prayer aligns us with it. That's why it's so necessary in our lives. That's why we need to become a house of prayer so that we align with God's will for our life. So that we're able to receive the grace to align with his will. You know, when we're in prayer sometimes in prayer we receive a revelation that gives us the ability to walk in a new grace. Or to walk in the grace that's already there, but we start to realize it. We get a confidence for it. We get a hope for it. It's not like we're just, you know, stumbling along. It's all of a sudden there's something in us that's seated. There's something that's grounded. There's a foundation that we start to anchor into, and we're able to walk in places that we didn't go before. So we need to see eternal reality. I want to give you something from the Old Testament, which I think is one of the greatest illustrations, even in the Old Testament, of what was going on in eternal reality, and someone didn't know it. So in 2 Kings 6:8-23, how are we doing on time? Doing okay, I guess. When the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, we will mobilize our forces at such and such a place. But immediately Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, do not go near the people that place, for the Aramaeans, thank you. Yeah, sometimes it won't roll off the tongue. The Aramaeans are planning to mobilize their troops there. So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God time and time again. Elijah warned the king so that he would be on the alert there. The king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his officers together and demanded, which of you is the traitor? Who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans? It is not us, my lord, the king. One of the officers replied, get this. Elijah, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. Elijah was definitely connected with the eternal reality. He knew what was going on before even the king who was getting ready to make the plans knew. You know, it says that even before we speak a word in prayer, God already knows what's on our hearts. Jesus knew what was in the hearts of all the people that were around him, it said. And he did not connect himself with several people because he knew what was in their hearts. Go and find out where he is, the king commanded, so I can send troops to seize him. And the report came back, Elijah is at Dothan. So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early in the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. Oh, sir, what "What will we do now?" the young man cried to Elijah. So this young man right now is in the natural reality. Elijah's somewhere else, but this young man's in the natural reality. He's seeing this army that's come to get them. They're ready to battle. They're ready to get Elisha. I don't know if they know all the whole story, why they're there, but they know that this is not their army and that things are not good. What's Elijah say? "Don't be afraid," Elijah told him, "for there are more on our side than on theirs." Eternal reality. Elijah knew an eternal reality that was going on. Even though it looked like in the natural, they were outgunned, outnumbered. Elijah says, "No, that's not what's happening right now. There's more for us than there are against us right now." Then Elijah prayed. Notice he prayed. And he said, "Oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see." The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Open our eyes, Lord, so that we can truly see what's going on in the spirit, so we can truly see what's going on in our world, not with eyes that judge by what we see with our eyes or hear with our ears or hear with a rumor, but truly by the spirit and the wisdom of God. Help us see, Lord, so that we can be a house of prayer that knows how to pray. See, Elijah knew what was going on, so he knew exactly what to pray, didn't he? He had already become aligned with this eternal reality. I don't know, maybe that morning he was told by God, "Hey, there's a large group coming here, but I got it, don't worry. The hills are covered." Maybe Elijah never even saw it. He just knew the eternal reality. And he says, "Well, why don't you open up this guy's eyes so he can know what I already know?" Have you ever known something in the spirit? You haven't seen it with your eyes, but you know it beyond a shadow of doubt that it is real? Yes. Have you? Yes. And there's something about it won't shake you when you know that you know that you know. You can stand firm in that truth. Praise God. So looking at eternal reality, 2 Corinthians says this, "While we do not look at the things which are seen." See, that's what that servant of Elisha was doing. He was looking at the things that are seen. He's looking, "Oh my gosh, we're dead, Elisha. But we look at the things which are not seen." What, and then Elisha said, "No, look at these things. Lord, open his eyes so we can look at the things that are not seen. The hills covered with the armies of God. For the things which are seen are temporary." That army was temporary. "But the things which are not seen are eternal." 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this, "For we live by faith, not by sight." I believe, again, that Elisha was living by faith. That other servant of his was living by sight. And when he was released to see with his natural eyes or his spiritual eyes, his faith was increased. But we don't have to see to believe. You know, Jesus, in a most intimate time with Thomas, where Thomas comes in and the disciples already seen Jesus, and he's like, "Oh man, I didn't get to see him. Like I'm sorry guys, I just can't believe that what you guys saw, like a ghost, or you know, you guys are all just crazy, you know, until I, you know, put my hand in his side and into his scar, I'm not going to believe." So the next time Jesus shows up, Thomas is there, and Jesus says, "Hey, Thomas, put your hand in my side." And he does. "Oh, my Lord and my God." He believed. But you know what Jesus said? That radical statement. He says, "Listen, Thomas, you saw and you believed, but more blessed are those who don't see and believe." There's more of a blessing to not see and believe. That's why I say we're more blessed than the disciples, because they saw. But we believe and we haven't saw. We are walking by faith, not by sight. Matthew 6:33 says this, "But first, most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you also." There's something about seeking God first, and everything else in your life is going to follow. That's why it's really not necessary to worry about your life. You know, that's what comes next after that. So don't worry about your life. what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink. God's got it taken care of. And then Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, I'll leave you with this. Therefore, let us also, seeing we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. I would say looking to eternal reality, looking to what is real, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So instead of looking at the armies, instead of looking at the problems, instead of looking at everything in your life that maybe is telling you a lie, look to Jesus. Turn, it says in some translation, turn away from what you're looking at now and look to Jesus. Most of the time when we're looking at the world, we're not looking at Jesus. It's almost impossible to look at the things of the world that are gripping our heart in a negative way and look at Jesus. We have to purposefully decide, I'm going to look at Jesus. I'm going to look at what Jesus would think about this moment, what Jesus is saying as I look at him with his loving eyes, with his heart of compassion, with his sometimes challenge of getting rid of the junk from my life. So purposeful requests, aligning your eternal reality, your truth, the truth that will make us free. I believe prayer is a way to get a new level of deliverance in your life. Prayer is a new way to have a new freedom in your life. I know that when we had a couple of those house night prayers, I think I came away, I don't know what it is. I mean, it's something different of a house prayer than what we can accomplish here on Sunday. Yes, we come here to worship. We come here to pray, and sometimes we do receive great altar ministry, but there's something about when we have purpose to get together. I think what it is God's honoring us seeking him. It's like those who seek me in truth, because we're being true. We're coming to you, Lord. We're coming to you because we want more. And obviously during the 21 days, there was a stirring to want more, but you know what? It didn't have to just be 21 days. We don't have to go back to just life as normal. We don't have to go back to just, you know, existing between Sundays. And you don't have to wait till Saturday night to have an awesome prayer meeting. You could have one in your home with your family. You could have with your wife. You could stand there and say, Lord, we just come before you right now, and we just thank you, Lord, that you're here with us, and you're guiding our steps. You're guiding us, Lord, in how to walk this life, Lord, and you're giving us, Lord, inspiration. Put on some music. You can change the way you do things for the better. So let's make, with everything that we can within us, this prayer acronym part of our life, that we're purposefully requesting things from God that align us, aligning our eternal reality with who he is. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, that your word is alive and active, Lord, today in our lives. And we pray, God, what you have sent in our lives today for your word to do, that it would not come back void, but that it would accomplish what you have set it to do. So, Lord, let every heart in this place, every heart that's listening online in the future, let them receive the supernatural empowerment to become the house of prayer that you so desire them to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I don't want anything but you. You're more than every dream come true. All of the things I thought I wanted don't come close. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
Everything else in this world, that we truly desire you as our one thing. Help us, Lord, to be real. Help us, Lord, to live in your reality. Help us, Lord, to see this world through your eyes. Give us Jesus, Lord. We've got him, but let him become so real in our lives that he is our one thing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bless you guys. Love you. Have a great week. And hopefully we'll see you at Saturday night prayer at the Casillas's.